Welcome to the World Changers Church Gold Coast Podcast. Join us as we listen to today's message.
Amen. That's really good. That's praise God for that. Amen. So let's recap a little bit about what we spoke about last night. I feel like I can get in my groove now. I got this thing. So what did we talk about? We said the Holy Spirit is a person, that he's a person. And because he's a person, we can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We said that the Holy Spirit is God, that he is co-eternal. He is co-equal with the Father and with Jesus. We said that the Holy Spirit is God with us. We saw in the scriptures that Jesus said it was better that he go so that he could send another, the Holy Spirit, one exactly like him. And we saw that Greek word that he proceeds from the Father means to continue the journey, continue what Jesus started through us now, that the Holy Spirit's been given so that we can continue the work and the same works and greater works that Jesus did. Amen. We saw that the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. And we saw that the Holy Spirit imparts to us the full revelation of who Jesus is. He says, the Holy Spirit takes what is of Jesus and gives it to us. He gives us the full revelation of what Christ did on the cross for us. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals everything that Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's quickly look at what I did not say. Amen? I did not say that the Holy Spirit replaces Jesus. I did not say that. The Holy Spirit does not replace Jesus. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are called co-equal, co-eternal. They call all are God. Amen? We understand that. The Holy Spirit does not replace Jesus, just like Jesus did not replace the Father. Jesus said, I came to reveal the Father. In the same way, the Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus. Amen? Make sense? Amen? Amen. I did not say that there are many gods. There are not many gods. It's not like the Holy Spirit is one third God and Jesus is one third God and God the Father is one third God. I did not say there are not many gods. They are one God. Amen? They are one God. And Deuteronomy says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Amen. We saw in the scriptures that it says that these three agree, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Amen? So it's one God, not many gods. So they are three distinct persons. They are not each a third of God. They are fully God and equally God. So we have God the Father. He's our protector. He's our provider. Amen. We have God the Son. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our righteousness. He's our redemption. Amen. And then we have God the Holy Spirit, so our helper, our counselor, our teacher, our guide. Amen. Does that make sense? But they're all God and they're all fulfilling one singular person, which is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Make sense? Hallelujah. So some of his characteristics. Hallelujah. Some of his characteristics. So let's go to John 16, 13 to 15. We talked a little bit about this last week, but it's so important that we go back over it. So he says here, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. So one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is that he always speaks the truth about who God is, the truth about who you are in God, the truth about what God has accomplished through Jesus on the cross, the truth about what's going to happen at the second coming, all of those sorts of things. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us and guides us into all truth. Amen. So that's why you can understand when we talk about discerning the leading of the Spirit next week, that the Lord never leads us through condemnation, through judgment. He never leads us through by magnifying sin in our life. He will never magnify sin in our life. He will magnify the righteousness of God in our lives. Amen. So he always speaks truth. So see, the Spirit of truth has come. It says he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Amen. Next verse. So he's going to speak of Jesus. He's going to hear. They're all in unity. You know, he doesn't do anything apart from Father, apart from Son. In the same way, Jesus says, I do nothing that I don't see my Father doing. I say nothing that I don't hear my Father saying. The Holy Spirit is the same in that way. And then this is important. It says that the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. He will glorify me, he says, for he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus, will always magnify Jesus. Amen. So we can understand that. And it's important that we understand that because the Bible does teach that the devil and his demons, they masquerade as a spirit of light. They come in there and they pretend to be light, to be good. They masquerade as light. But one thing that the enemy will never do is he will never glorify Jesus in your life. He will never do that. He will glorify self. He will glorify your flesh. He will glorify temptation. He will glorify these things that may look like God, but he will never glorify Jesus. The Bible teaches us that no man can say Jesus is Lord unless he is moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always magnify the Lord. He will always magnify Jesus. So that's a great way to understand some of those people that may be more spiritual, may hear or see things in the Spirit. Is if you bring up the name of Jesus, if you start thinking about Jesus, what happens? Does Jesus get bigger, or does, for whatever reason, something else happen? And Jesus has tried to maybe be minimized in that moment. You know, we won't get into really deep spiritual things this morning, but it's important that we understand that the Holy Spirit will always glorify, magnify Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So another characteristic of the Holy Spirit, he is our source of hope, joy, and peace. Let's look at this at Romans 15 and 13. Hallelujah. I hope this one doesn't come on because then they'll feedback. So, and now the God of hope, you got it turned off, eh? Yeah, sweet. Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in us will magnify God, and it will bring joy, and he'll bring peace, and we will abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this is some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not earthly things. It's not sensual things, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's so good, because that's the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. And it's important we know who the Holy Spirit is, because if we're going to have a relationship with him, we have to understand his character. You know, the Lord was talking to me about authority this morning, and he was saying that when you know who I am, and you know my spirit, and you know the name of Jesus, then you can walk in authority. If you don't know those things, you can't walk in authority. The same way if a policeman had a uniform on, but he didn't understand the authority of that uniform, he didn't understand what that uniform meant, he could just be walking around the cop and no one would give him any type of respect. But as soon as he puts that uniform on, as soon as he carries himself, as soon as he understands the authority that he has because of it, then all of a sudden, his words have more power to them because he understands the authority. If he doesn't understand what he's put on, if he doesn't know what it means to be in that uniform, then he won't speak from that place. He'll be too busy looking at who he is without the uniform. But I have the uniform of the Holy Spirit. I'm cloaked in the Holy Spirit. I'm cloaked in the name of Jesus. I have the righteousness of God. I'm his kid. He has already called me his own. I have the authority and the backing of heaven because I'm clothed in him. I wear his authority. It's not my authority. It's not my words. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through me that gives me authority. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens me to the word of God. And when I speak the word of God, like Claire said, God performs it. I'm not doing anything other than agreeing with the Holy Spirit and speaking the word of God. That's all I'm doing. It's not my authority. Amen? Jesus said that when he did the Great Commission, he says all authority has been given to Jesus. So the Father had placed all authority on Jesus. And then he said, now you go. It's like, I'm giving you that authority now. You know, we co-labor with the Lord in the works that we do on this earth. Amen? Amen. Another characteristic of the Holy Spirit, he guarantees our salvation. Look at this in Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. So it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What do I mean by the word of truth? Does anyone understand what that means? When I heard the word of truth, which is, it's the revelation of Jesus, the truth of who he is, what he accomplished on the cross, that it's by faith in him alone that we're saved. Amen. So in him you also trusted, talking about Jesus, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, Jesus, also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Next verse. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. So we've received the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus, that's sealed, our spirits are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he guarantees our salvation. He guarantees our inheritance, which is us to be with the Lord, eternal life. Amen. So therefore, that's what I'm talking about when I say no sin can penetrate your spirit because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Amen. He guarantees it. Hallelujah. All right. So then we're going to look at this idea of the Holy Spirit's purpose and specifically his power within you and the purpose of his power. So the Holy Spirit's purpose on earth. And I'm going quick because we've got a lot to cover and not a lot of time. So is this okay? Am I good? The speed I'm at, you guys are good? Yep. All right. Just yell out if the Lord will yell out. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's purpose on earth. So look, Jesus's ministry, Jesus's earthly ministry is our example, yes? So we see the life of Jesus in the Gospels, and we understand that that is our example. You know, Jesus was fully God. We talked about that. He was also fully man. In Philippians, it says he emptied himself of his deity. He emptied, not his deity, his divinity, Philippians 2 says that God was in Jesus, and it says that Jesus did not, help me out here, Holy Spirit. He did not think of his divinity as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Yeah, he emptied himself, and he became a man like us, yet without sin, right? So he humbled himself, the word says. He humbled himself even to the death on a cross. So Jesus became like us, is what I'm trying to say, in his earthly ministry. He became like us. He gave us the example. Some people think that I could never be like Jesus because Jesus was God. Yes, Jesus was God, but he emptied himself of that so that he could become like us, so that he could relate to us. The Bible says that he knows our infirmities. He knows the temptations. He knows the things we went through so that he can relate to us in that way. And so Jesus' example on earth is the example we follow. And so Jesus was born of the Spirit, same way we're born again of the Spirit. And then Jesus was baptized in the Spirit in the same way we're commanded to be baptized in the Spirit. He was water baptized and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove. And it's important that we understand there so Jesus did no miracles before that day. There is no recorded miracles in the Bible before his baptism and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. There is no recorded miracle up until that point. But it says that he was then taken, led away by the Spirit in the power of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came upon him, hallelujah, amen. And this is really interesting because we have to understand this too. What's the first thing that God spoke to Jesus when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He affirmed him. Because up until that point, there's no recollection of Jesus actually hearing the Father. He did it all by the Word of God. He did it all by understanding that he, you know, what his mother had probably sown into him and just reading the scriptures and understanding all the prophecies. But it wasn't until that point, the Holy Spirit baptism, where God then could open it. It's the same way when we're reading the Word of God. We can't read it without the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. We just saw that. So Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he hears God and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The first thing that God speaks to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That should be the first thing that we hear as Christians when we get born again and we get baptized in the Spirit. You need to understand your identity. You understand that God says, "You are my beloved in whom I'm well pleased." Now, I love that. I love that God's first words to Jesus after his baptism was, "This is my beloved Son." And then he led away and he's tempted of the devil. And what's the devil trying to do? He tries to take away that identity. He says, "If you are the Son of God, do this." He challenges that identity. He makes it so Jesus has to prove his identity. But Jesus says, "No, man shall not live by bread alone, but by all the words that proceed out of the mouth of God." Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to do something to prove who I am. God's already spoken it over my life. I don't need to prove it. I know who I am." Amen. Come on. Amen. So the Holy Spirit quickens our identity to us. He tells us of our righteousness, tells us of who we are in Christ, and he speaks the word of God over us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so then we saw, if we're looking at the earthly ministry of Christ, we see that he was baptized. And then we see in Luke 4, let's go there, Naomi, let's go to Luke 4. So we see that it says that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. There we go, 14. And then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. So Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now go to verse 18, which is where I wanted to be. That one was a kind of a spanner. He says, when I say that God has changed it up, He has changed it up, guys. So we're going with the Spirit here this morning, but it is still, it's still good. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is after his baptism, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, verse 19, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed up the book, because it goes on to talk about judgment after that. And Jesus did not come to judge. Amen. He came to bring captivity. He came to bring freedom. Hallelujah. Okay, so what am I saying here? Jesus' earthly ministry and how he walked with the Holy Spirit is an example to us of how we are to walk with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then there was an anointing upon him to do the works that God had called him to do. And those works are special, and we need to understand those, because those works are the same works and the greater works that we're called to do. Amen? Yeah, hallelujah. So if we look at the world, and we understand that the world is lost, they don't know the Lord. They don't know Jesus. They don't haven't received salvation. They're walking blind, right? They don't understand. Their eyes have not been opened. Some would argue, and I would have argued when I was in the world, that I was quite happy not to have my eyes opened, but that's because I was deceived. And once my eyes were opened, I understood that deception. I understood that whole time that there had been a veil or a mask over my eyes that was keeping me from the knowledge of Jesus. And a lot of people, and the devil does this a lot, as he masquerades that freedom as bondage, as religion. But it's not religion that we're after. It is the freedom that we receive in Christ, because the truth we know sets us free, right? But the truth you don't know is keeping you in bondage, it's killing you. So the truth we know will set us free. Amen, but only God's truth. So in John 16, verse 7 through 11, we've read this a couple times, but I want to unpack it a little bit with you this morning. He says, nevertheless, I tell you that it is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Don't go too fast, stay there. So, and it says, when he has come, this is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, it's better that I go so I can send the Holy Spirit. And remember that it says that he's been now come from the Father, and he continues the work through us now. So, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. The world of sin. Okay? The Holy Spirit does not convict the believer or the righteous of sin. He convicts the world of sin. And we're going to unpack this a little bit more in a minute. So it's the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not in me. They do not believe in me, he says. So the singular sin here, it's not sins. It's not all the things that we think are sin. It's sin, a singular sin, that they do not believe on Jesus. That is why the Holy Spirit was sent. A singular purpose, to convict the world, those who do not know God, to believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The next one, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Stay there. So the Holy Spirit's been sent to convict the world of not believing in Jesus. Hey, believe on Jesus. Just believe in Jesus. Amen. It's not about all that other stuff. You're just not believing in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And then of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So of righteousness, what are we talking about? We're talking about right standing with God. So Holy Spirit then convicts you of the sin of not believing. And then he goes, and now guess what? Because you believe, you're in right standing with God. Hallelujah. You have righteousness. You're in right standing with God now. It's not about your works. No, nowhere in this passage of Scripture does it say anything about doing a good work or anything like that. It says, hey, believe in Jesus. Now you're righteous. Whoa. So good. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Next one. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Does the Holy Spirit judge me? Holy Spirit does not judge me. He judges, he convicts the world of judgment. So he says, hey, believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus, you're righteous. And then he says this, and now the devil's defeated in your life. Hallelujah. He has no more dominion over you. because you are not under law, you are under grace now. Amen? Man, that ought to light your fire. Your wood must be wet. Come on, let's go. Hallelujah. So he convicts the world. He convicts those who don't know God that they need to believe in Jesus. And once they say yes, he convicts them and he says, now you're righteous. You're in right standing with God. You're right with God now. You have relationship with God now. You can go boldly before the throne room of grace and receive that mercy. The Holy Spirit convicts you of that. And then lastly, he says, hey, you've got authority. You've got victory. You've got power. You've got anointing. You've got the word of God. You've got all of heaven backing you now. The prince of this world is judged. There's no judgment over you. You're a victor. Hallelujah. You're the righteousness of God. Quit allowing that situation, that circumstance to speak louder than the other two, which is that you believe in Jesus and now you're righteous. Don't allow this situation to speak louder than those two truths. Hey, I'm convicting you right now. You're not under judgment. The enemy is judged. You're victorious. You're more than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, honey. You liked it? Oh, my wife. I can always count on my wife. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you, babe. Amen. Okay, so we see that he's talking specifically to the world. Okay? How many of y'all know that we can have some world in us? Yeah? I got some world in me. I was at the coffee shop this morning. I got some world in me. I got some stuff in me that's not yet crucified. I haven't renewed my mind fully yet. I'm on a journey just like every single one of you. Amen. I will not arrive. I have left. Thank you, Andrew Womack, for that. But I have some world in me. And I have to be humble enough to understand that and say, Holy Spirit, just like David said, if there be any wicked way in me, search me, O Lord. See if there's any wicked way and create in me a clean heart, God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, Lord. If there's something in me, Lord, convict me of that. If there's some world in me, Lord, convict me of that. But let's break that down. What's he going to do? Is he going to judge me now? Is he going to tell me that I'm a useless sinner? Is he going to tell me that I'm no good and that God's blessings are not for me anymore? He's not going to do that. What's he going to do? He's going to convict me of the singular sin. Hey, believe in Jesus. You've stopped believing in Jesus. You've started believing in whatever else has been spoken over your life. You're starting to look at these other things. You need to stop doing that and you need to start believing in Jesus again, because that's why this stuff is happening in your life. You've stopped looking at Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit's going to do for us as well. If we've got some things in us that we're still working on, he's going to say, yo, wake up, start believing in Jesus again. You're not trusting in Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. And then once you do that again, he's going to say, and you're righteous. You're in right standing with God. Come boldly to the throne. Receive his mercy. Receive his grace. Come and sit with him and let him minister to you and tell you about who you are in Christ, that you're a child of God, that you're accepted in the beloved, that before the foundations of the world, he knew you and he had a plan for you. Amen. Let him convict you of the fact that you are now God's, oh man, beloved son, in whom he is well pleased. Amen. Some of you haven't actually received that truth. There's some people in this room, I can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me now. I can feel the Holy Spirit. That you guys have not accepted that truth, that I am his beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, that I'm his beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. How can you have confidence that your prayer is going to be answered if you don't believe that? How can you have confidence that he's going to back your word when you speak it if you don't believe you're his beloved son in whom he's well pleased? And man, like my kids, when they know that dad's on their side, it's like they become superheroes. My dad's got my back. Man, I can do anything. They're playing footy or something like that and they fall over and they start to get that, you know, that kind of quivering lip. You can do it. I believe in you. You got this. Man, it comes in on like energy, right? They get infused with the strength that they didn't know they had and they soldier on. Come on, man. Like, how much greater is our Heavenly Father? And when he speaks that word over you, man, come alive in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Some of you got to receive that this morning, that you are God's beloved. Man, he delights over you with singing and dancing. You're accepted in the beloved. He sees you as holy and pure and blameless. You stand before him and he sees no sin in you. He sees no shame. He's not ashamed of you. He delights in you. Man, he created you. And when he looks at you, he doesn't see all the wrongs, man. He sees who you can be. He sees who he created you to be. He sees all the good plans that he's laid out before you, man. The plans that he wants you to, that he's got for you to walk in, you know? Man, you know, Jesus had done nothing up until this point. And God said, you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He hadn't opened any eyes. He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't spoken to anybody about who the Father is. But just because Jesus was obedient, Jesus was righteous, Jesus was seeking after the Lord, God's like, man, this is my beloved, man. Amen. Hallelujah. So good. That's powerful. And the Holy Spirit will minister to that to you. He will convict you of your righteousness. He'll say, hey, believe in Jesus. And he'll remind you that you are a conqueror. You are victorious. You have the victory. All you got to do is just walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew. Amen. That's what repentance is. That's actual truth. That is biblical repentance right there. It's a change in heart, of the heart and mind, away from the lies, back to the truth about who Jesus is. You know, stop believing that and start believing in Jesus. That's it. Simple, man. God doesn't make this thing complicated. We make this thing complicated. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Are you guys good? Man, time is flying. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. So we're talking about Jesus's ministry as our example. Look at this. And so how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. The Word of God and with power. Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God, man. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with, say it with me, power. And then from there, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Remember last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit is God with us. Jesus says, better that I go so I can send the Holy Spirit and he will be with you. Amen. But I don't even want to move from that for a little bit, Naomi. I just want to hang out here and see what God says. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Man, I feel like if you just meditated on that scripture for the rest of your life, like that would be enough, man. But yet there's 66 books full of this stuff. It's great. So God anointed Jesus. The Bible later on says that you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the ministry of Jesus, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Like I said, it wasn't God doing this work. It was Jesus fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, allowing God to move and do this work on earth. And it's the same way for you and I. It's us fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit to allow him to do this work in our lives. Amen. And so look at the works. So he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The same ministry of Jesus is the same ministry that we have today. But we cannot do this works, like I said, if we don't understand who we are, that we're his beloved son. You know, because I remember just a quick sidebar testimony. I remember when I was first starting to walk and operate in the gift of healing, and I was praying for people. And, you know, I was getting a little bit disheartened because I was not seeing people get healed. I was praying and I was believing and I was speaking and I was not seeing people get healed. And I understood as I pressed further on and I kept going, because I started to see healings later as I just persevered with this. But I understood that what was happening is that I was trusting in my words. I was trusting in my prayers. I was trusting in what I was doing to pray over these people. I was like, if I just pray this, if I speak this word, if I do that, then there was a bit of me in that. And God's so faithful, because I did see some healings. I did see some people receive and I did see some salvations, but not as much as I would like. But once I started to get out of the way and I understood that it was the Holy Spirit simply using me to be a vessel to minister God's healing, man, I started seeing them all the time, because What happened is that God started bringing the people to me, and I was aware of who God wanted me to speak to. So it wasn't just a lucky dip or a shot in the dark. It was the Holy Spirit actually quickening to me the person that He wanted me to speak to. And therefore, I was seeing so much more. There were people that still wouldn't receive healing, and God would say to me, that's not because of you or because of me, it's because of them. Like, their hearts are not ready to receive, but this was just simply a part of their journey where I was starting to break off the callus on their heart. They needed some seeds to be sown. You may not see the healing here, but someone else will, and you're just simply a sower. Like, these are the truths of the Bible, because God showed me that some sow, some water, but He brings the increase. I thought I was the one that had to see healing every time, but the Holy Spirit showed me through the Word of God that that's not true. Sometimes I'm just a sower, sometimes I'm a waterer, but to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that makes sense. We gotta take the pressure off ourselves, I think, sometimes, you know? We wanna do these things, but God's like, no, I don't need you to do these things, I'm God. Yeah, amen. It's a partnership. This is the point that I'm trying to make, is that it's a partnership, it's a relationship, it's a walk with the Holy Spirit in the same way the disciples walked with Jesus in Galilee, like we talked about last week, and they learned of Him and they were led by Him, and He gave them authority to go out and do things. It's the same thing with us, with the Holy Spirit. We're led by Him. He leads us and guides us. He shows us things to come. He puts us in the right positions, you know, simply, and it's just through surrender. It simply is, Holy Spirit, not my will, but Your will. You know, I'm just gonna be obedient to You today. It's a simple prayer like that. And then you just leave it, really. You know, you just kind of, you don't think anything else about it. I think that's what we do. We end up trying to self-fulfill the Word. You know, we're like, oh, now I've got to make this happen. No, God makes it happen. Amen. Thanks, Alex, man. We've completely run out of time. Amen. Is this good? Amen. So we talked about the ministry of Jesus and His earthly ministry and how the Holy Spirit was upon Him and had empowered Him to do that work. And then, you know, really quick before we end. So every believer should desire to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's impossible to do anything without Him in our walk with the Lord, okay? We can't do it in our own strength. It's not by strength, it's not by might, it's by My Spirit, says the Lord. One of Patty's favorite scriptures. And before, that's cool, because if you look in the Gospels, and I'll just tell this quick story that will really help, but you know, these 12 disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, side by side. Saw all the miracles, saw all the signs, saw the woman with the issue of blood, saw the leper be healed, saw all the things that Jesus did, right? And then what happened is that when Jesus went to the cross, they all doubted, they all got into unbelief, they all scattered, Peter denied the Christ. You know, they all went back into their flesh and their human understanding. And then Jesus is risen and He meets with His disciples. And a couple of the scriptures actually say that He rebuked them because of their unbelief. Wow. A lot of us hear that word rebuke and we think that Jesus like yelled at them. He just said, guys, man, it's like what the Holy Spirit did. He convicts us of the sin, right? Don't believe in Me. Believe in Me, guys. It says that he did that. And it says that when He was ascending to go to the Father, they were all up there on the mount. And just stay with me on this one. They were all up there on the mount. And it said they worshipped Him, but some doubted. It was in that Jesus gave them the Great Commission. It was in that He charged them to go out into all the world and preach this gospel and make disciples. It was in that place of these people full of doubt and unbelief that Jesus charged them with this, right? Pretty tall order for these people to do. They were just doubting Him. They were scattered. They denied the Christ. And then we flash forward to Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And Jesus, at that time when He was going back to the Father, He said, wait here in Jerusalem until I send the promise of My Father, the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, you will be endued with power from on high. So Jesus is full of doubt, unbelief, denying the Christ. These people, that's who Jesus is speaking to. He says, but stay here because I'm going to send the promise. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to send the promise. And when He comes, He's going to fill you with power. And it specifically says that you will have power to be My witnesses. And then a couple of chapters later, or a chapter later in chapter 2, it says they were in the upper room and they're all praying. And the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And they were all filled with His Spirit. And they started speaking in other tongues and magnifying the Lord. And then Peter, the same one that denied the Christ, goes out. And all these people are saying, are these guys drunk? And Peter says, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, the Jesus that you crucified. And he starts preaching the gospel to them, bold as a lion. What changed from the one that denied Christ, doubted Christ, refused to worship him at that, doubted him on the hill? What changed between that and the bold one that led 3,000 people to the Lord on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit, hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs to desire the Holy Spirit in their lives. Not just for your walk, not just for your strength, but so that you can be that witness. Amen. So again, like last week and every week, I am going to give the opportunity for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, that's wonderful. I'm going to talk about how that it is an ongoing filling that we need. And so if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, if you feel like you just want to be your flame to be lit again, you feel like you just want that indwelling, that infilling, just like when the father says to the kid that's fallen over, hey, get up, you can do it. And they get infused with that power. If that's what you want, if you're feeling a little flat, I invite you, come up here and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. You need this power. You cannot do what you're called to do. You cannot be who you're called to be without the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he'll magnify Jesus in your life. He'll make the word come alive. He'll glorify Jesus. He'll remind you of your righteousness and that you're a victor and you're more than a conqueror. But you got to come up. You got to receive him. You got to be filled with him. So I'm going to ask Patty to come forward. I'll ask Claire to come forward. Linda, if you can come and pray with people this morning. And if you want to receive the baptism, the indwelling, the filling of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come forward this morning as the team just continues to play. God bless you, family. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you guys next week. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message. To connect or find out more, you can reach us online at worldchangers.life. Remember to subscribe for more uplifting messages from our pastoral team, and may you continue to walk in faith and transformation until we meet again.